Let's pray together. Gracious and glorious One, make us present to the presence of love. Amen. Well, when John kicks off his gospel, there are no angels singing, no sheep frolicking, and no women giving birth. Instead, John grabs his readers by echoing the opening words of Genesis, in the beginning. I don't know, that might not sound like attention-grabbing language to you, but you know, it's actually a bold choice, a choice to equate what he is telling us with the very first words of Scripture. God is doing something new, something amazing, something not to be missed. And we skip down a couple of paragraphs. We come to another bold choice. Now we heard Jesus, the Word, put on flesh and made a home with us. Now the idea that God has moved into our neighborhood, well, that's a very powerful image. But there's something even more powerful in this, because literally the text reads, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory." Well, you can see why this language is not often preserved in English translations, because it might be a little opaque to most of us, but it is something amazing. Back in Exodus 25, we catch up with the chosen people as they are making their way en route to the promised land. And God says to Moses, "Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I give you." And this is followed by pages of excruciatingly detailed instructions. Well, the tabernacle's constructed. It's a portable temple, and it's used until the first stone temple is built years later. It's a tent. But I don't want to think you to think about that tent, you know, you use at Girl Scout camp, or the one your family sleeps in when you're camping. But this is not an ordinary tent. And ordinary people don't get to enter it. The interior curtains are made of blue, scarlet, and purple linen, patterned with cherubim, fastened with gold clasps. And the furnishings include acacia wood, overlaid with gold and gold dishes, and much more. Well, this tent of meeting was where designated people went to meet God. It's actually God's house, God's dwelling place. And when it was finished, it was consecrated. And the glory of God descended on the tabernacle so powerfully that Moses could not enter until the cloud of glory lifted. God's glory was among his people. But it was death to enter the tabernacle if you were not authorized to do so. So that's a tabernacle. It was eventually replaced by the first temple, a stone building in Jerusalem, whose walls were covered in carvings overlaid with gold. Another, you know, simple structure. And when it was completed, the Ark of the Covenant and the other sacred furnishings of the tabernacle were brought to the new temple. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, very important. It's a gold-covered acacia wood box containing the tablets of the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's budding rod. And perched on the gold cover are two golden cherubim, and the glory of God, the presence of God, is understood to rest right there. And after the temple is completed, once again, the glory of God fills the space when it is consecrated, and the priests cannot perform their services because of the cloud filling the building. Well, 2 weeks ago, we heard about the unthinkable, how this temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BCE, and the populace was forced marched into captivity, and the Ark of the Covenant and its all-important contents is never seen again, at least not until the Harrison Ford movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, 50 years after that first temple is destroyed, King Cyrus allows some Jews to return to Jerusalem, and over the course of many years, they build a second temple. But it's not as large, and it's not as impressive as the first temple. And its Holy of Holies is lacking its most important object, the Ark of the Covenant. And the miracles, the glory, and the prophecy associated with the tabernacle and the first temple have ended. Well, in 20 BCE, Herod, who's a great builder, you have to say something nice about the guy, begins renovating the temple. And his renovations are so extensive that the original building is completely replaced, but it's still considered the second temple because religious services were never interrupted. And the resulting temple, which is still being built in Jesus' day, is an enormous and very impressive complex. But there's no ark, there's no glory, there's no prophecy, and there are no miracles. And it's been 400 years since there's been a prophet in the land, and the Romans are patrolling the streets of the holy city. The high priesthood has become corrupt. It's laboring to please Rome rather than God. And the glory of the Lord has vanished from the land. Now, with this context, hear John again. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory. John intentionally links Jesus to God's Word, how God communicates himself, as Melissa talked to the kids about. The tabernacle, the physically obvious presence of God, and the glory of God. And John is telling us right up front, right in his prologue, that what God's people have been longing for, the glory of God to dwell in Israel again, a glory greater than that of the first temple, has arrived. God is doing something new, something amazing, and the glory has come back. But the glory has come back in an unexpected way. There's no gold-lined rooms. There's no smoke and fire. There's not an unapproachable Holy of Holies. God's glory has come in a man made flesh, the Word made flesh, man born among the animals and raised by ordinary people, a man who goes on to say and do amazing things, and the glory, the prophecy, and the miracles are back. But that glory is not hidden away in an inner sanctum, approachable only by a few people. It's right in our midst, and it's approachable by all of us. And that is amazing good news. And I'd like to finish with an ancient prayer from the Eastern tradition. It sort of makes me laugh. We see most eloquent orators voiceless as fish when they speak of thee, O Jesus, our Savior. For it is beyond their power to tell how thou art both perfect man and immutable God at the same time. Amen.